Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have Holy Spirit power. I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of His. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past redeemed, my present makes sense, my future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame vision, worldly talking, cheap giving, and dwarf goals. I no longer need preeminent position, promotion, applause, or popularity. I don't have to be right first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith, lean on His presence, walk by patience. I am uplifted by prayer and labor empowered. My face is set, my grade is fast, my goal is heaven. My road is narrow, my way is rough. My companions are few, my God reliable, my mission is clear. I cannot be bopped, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned. Face the sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of my adversaries, negotiate at the table of my enemy, or ponder at the pool of popularity. I won't give up, shut up, let up until I've stayed up, thought up, prayed up, preached up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ.
We will
Give someone next to you a high five. There we go. Now we're in. You ready? Let's make our confession. We call on you, O God of Israel, oh, that you would bless us indeed. Enlarge our territory. Keep your hand with us, that we will stay away from evil, so that we will not cause pain. We receive it done in Jesus' name. And now, Lord, look upon your enemy's threats and grant to us, your servants, to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy Son, Jesus. I declare that all words that are being spoken against the ministry of Jesus Christ that we have been given stewardship for are null and have no effect. We declare that your enemies are confounded, and we say this in Jesus' name. As a believer, I am an ambassador of the cross. I fight a good warfare. My faith is increased every time I hear the word. I walk by faith and not by sight. I am quick to purge my conscience of dead words and works. I always trust in the Lord, and I lean on his understanding. The eyes of my heart are enlightened, and I know what is the hope of his calling. I have my senses trained to discern good and evil. I am a mature Christian, and I can handle solid food along with the milk of the word. I am an imitator of God. Therefore, I walk in love. I implement all of the armor of God. Therefore, I resist evil and stand firm every day. As a Christian, my greatest weapon is the word of God spoken in faith. I wield this weapon accurately, and I know that the power of life and death is in my tongue, and I am eating the fruit of it. We declare that in the time of trouble, we the faithful will receive a double portion, and all those around us will know that we are the offspring of the Lord. I declare that all of RPN's members and their ministries are doing well. They are financial partners with MBM, new pastors join, and all members communicate effectively in Jesus' name. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe his prophet, and you will prosper. With the power vested in me by the Lord Jesus as an ambassador of the cross and a child of the King, serving as a minister of reconciliation, I publicly loose the opportunity to earn money and have employment over my family, over this area, and over our entire state. I declare the understanding of the principles of tithing and the laws of seed time and harvest are functioning effectively in the ministry of Jesus Christ in the state of Michigan. In the name of Jesus, we declare that large contractors and small businesses come together in unity to create financial strength in all of Michigan. We declare Exodus 12:13, and the blood shall be a sign to you upon the houses where you are. Governor Rick Snyder, our House of Representatives, the Senate, the Judicial Committees,
and all other elected leaders for our state. God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you as a destruction. In Jesus' name, grace to Lansing, God's grace to Lansing. I declare people come from the north, south, east, and west. People focused on this vision. People determined to walk with God. People whose faith is contagious. People who live in the fear of the Lord. People who want to be servants. Servants ready to serve. They come to the house of the Lord. We declare like Solomon over our ministry, lives, and businesses that there is more than enough to do all that must be done. More than enough silver, more than enough gold, more than enough skilled workers, 100 new adult replenishment troops come now according to the word of God in Jesus' holy and mighty name. Amen and amen, amen. Let's clap our hands and shout unto God with the voice of triumph. You want to?
Hallelujah.
I'm going to break this lukewarm spirit in here yet today. I'll tell you what. Let's gather around the altar like we always do to receive communion. You don't have to if you don't want to. We say it this way. If you have made Jesus the Lord of your life, whether you feel like you're winning or losing, you are welcome to receive communion with us. And you're one of our brothers and sisters. And our brother Cal will serve you the communion elements here, and it'll be a blessing. Pastor, why do we do this? Because Jesus said, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. Everybody say often. Does anybody have a Greek definition for the word often? Many times. I'm sure, Len, that if you went and looked, it would just say often, probably. Because it's not too hard to figure out and define the word often, except to say you should be doing it often. Now, let me remind you about this. I've said it ever since the first of the year, but I'm going to say it again. Today, everybody say Sunday. Today, around the world, on the timeline of the world, what do you call that? International dateline. There's 24-hour period called Sunday, right? How many people do you think is going to receive communion in that 24-hour period? Millions. I would imagine it probably comes close to a billion. The Catholic Church boasts about having a billion members themselves. Of course, not all of them go to church in every service, but I would say we're pretty close to a billion. And I can guarantee you that the cracker that they serve is different than ours. I bet you there's thousands of different looking cups. I don't think everybody uses Welch's grape juice. What do you think? Yeah, we hope so, but probably it's not going to happen. So, folks, it's not in the cracker and it's not in the juice. It's in the faith in your heart that Jesus does something for you. Can I get an amen from you? Let me remind you of this. When the children of Israel took the first Passover, they were healed in their body instantly. Because the scripture says they left Egypt that night and there was not one feeble person amongst them. How many of you have ever seen Charlton Heston and Moses? Anybody ever seen that movie, Moses? Man, that movie's pretty cool, but those people are going out limping, beaten down, barely making it. That's not the Bible, folks. There wasn't a feeble one amongst them. And it happened when they received the lamb that they had to sacrifice. And it happened when they put the blood over the doorpost of their homes. Now, we don't drink blood. We never would. Everybody say that would be nasty. That would be nasty. But in what we're doing, you can believe that total health and restoration happens in your body right now while we receive these, and that's just an act of your faith. Let's pray. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we receive these elements as you commanded me to, Lord. It's been 10 years now. You said, receive it in every service, and we've been faithful to do that. And now, Lord, I ask for heaven. I ask for heaven to honor the faith in every heart of every person here today and give us healing and strength and restoration while we receive these communion elements. Give us forgiveness and deliverance and victory. Give us every bit of the atonement that we can have, and may we come to a greater understanding of who you are. I pray this in Jesus' name. Now receive our prayer that we join together and pray in Jesus' name. Now pray this prayer with me. You were wounded for my transgression. You were bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord. And by your stripes, I am healed, spirit, soul, and body, mind, will, and emotion. Nothing missing, nothing broken, every joint supplying. In my body, in this body, in the body of Christ, within our stewardship, and right here in this community, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's receive the bread together. Lord, we know the scripture says that you're the bread of life. You're that living word that was sent down from heaven. You are the word made flesh. And you dwell among us. We receive it. And now we lift up the cup of blessing. The blood of Jesus. A better covenant based in better promises. We give you glory, Lord. Receive our prayer of faith. Everyone pray this prayer with me. By the blood of Jesus, I have been redeemed. By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation with my Father. By the blood of Jesus, every sin has been placed in remission in my life. By the blood of Jesus, I have access to come boldly to the throne of God, where I find grace to help in my time of need. By the blood of Jesus, I overcome. By the blood of Jesus, I purge my conscience and make my robes white, so that I will be the glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any other blemish when you come for me in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's receive the juice together. Jump to your feet and let's worship the Lord.
Give somebody next to you a high five and say, you can count on him. I'm really serious about it. Jesus is the same
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a great round. Hallelujah. We give you glory, Lord. We give you glory, Lord. We give you glory. We give you glory.
Say it with me. Only He is worthy. Only He is worthy. It's filled with His praises. Hallelujah. Hold that song for just a minute, Josh. I want everybody just to raise your hands with me. Just raise your hands and pray this prayer with me. Jesus, I thank you
that you did all of that. And you did it just for me. I wasn't even here when you did it. But it's working for me today. And I worship you. And I praise your name. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you for doing it for me. And I receive it done in my life right now. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, we got another one. Worship the Lord. This is an anthem. So sing it like one.
Here in the
All right, let's give the Lord another big... No, we don't give the Lord applause. Let's praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. It's all right to clap. Clap your hands. Clap like you mean it. Don't just patty cake. Brother Chalmer, come up here, brother. Brother Cal, come here. Grab me that anointing oil. Well, we were singing that last line there. The Holy Spirit said that over you. No power of hell and no scheme of man will ever take you from his hand. And the enemy's tried many times to take you out. And God doesn't let it happen, but neither do you and neither do the rest of us. How many of you pray for Chalmer? Anybody besides me pray for Chalmer? I pray for Chalmer. And I'm going to anoint you with oil. That's what the Bible says to do. And I declare that word over you. No power of hell, no scheme of man, and there's a bunch of them, will ever take you from his hands. I suppose we could say, or woman. Or boy or girl. All right, I'm done. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus. Man, that's a powerful anointing, Chalmer. In the name of Jesus, Lord, this is your servant. This is your servant. This is a man that served you since day one when he found out who you really were. And I ask that blessing on my brother. I ask that blessing. I ask it, Lord. In obedience to what the Holy Spirit showed me, I now anoint you with oil in the name of Jesus. And I declare in the name of Jesus, no power of hell, no scheme of man will ever be able to take you from his hand. And it will not confuse you. You'll see right through it. You'll name it what it is and you'll walk free from it. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Body, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that you right yourself according to the covenant. According to the stripes on Jesus' back. Every joint, every tissue, the very marrow of his bones functioning together properly from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. I declare healing, health, and strength in this body. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, everybody give Brother Chalmer a good round of applause because this is a mighty warrior of the cross, folks, right there. I don't know if you've ever met a mighty warrior of the cross, but if not, there's one right there. Don't worship him or ask to kiss his ring because he won't let you. You may be seated. Well, how many enjoyed worship today? Amen, amen, amen. You guys like that choir I bring with me? They're quite a choir, aren't they? How many of you, that choir makes you sing a little extra harder? Anybody besides me? I had another pastor friend one time, he said, you still using CDs at your church? I said, yes, sir. He goes, what's wrong with you? Can't you get a worship team? I said, your worship team has strife every now and then. Mine doesn't. Mine come in on the right cue. They do, man. They're awesome. They don't drag the song out too long, but it's not too short either. Can I get an amen from somebody? Amen? It's just right. Well, thank God for good worship. We're glad you're with us today. We've got some visitors with us today. We always say, if you're looking for a good church, this is a good church. Now, if you're looking for a perfect church, well, you won't find that till you get to heaven. Because here on earth, you got people. Look at that people next to you and just say, I got to deal with you, don't I? I just got to deal with you. Huh? Look at somebody in the other aisle across from me and just tell them, I got to deal with you. This could be a miserable trip here, but anyways, We welcome you. We're glad that you're with us. Any part of God that you can take part of, we welcome you to do that. Any way we can help you walk with God, we are glad to do that too. Amen? Because Jesus is the Lord, not the church. Can I get an amen? Jesus is the Lord, not the pastor. And if I can help you walk with the Lord, I guarantee you, you're going to make it. Because whether or not I'm there, you'll have Jesus walking with you, and you'll be walking with him, and your life will be blessed. Let's give our visitors another round of applause there. Thank you for being here. Go home. Bring all your friends, Romans, and countrymen with you. And come out and enjoy this. You know what? We don't have any big Bible school or anything that we do here yet. I don't know. Someday we may. But how many of you would agree with me that if you're around here for 6 months, your life changes? Right? It's not my magnetic personality that makes you change. Is it? No, I hope, you know. It's not the building that causes you to change. It's you get in here and we preach the word. And the word is what causes you to change. Amen? I remember the first time Dr. Barclay said that when I started going to church there. He said, the word will change your life. I thought, well, I guess I should have known that. I grew up in church all my life, but I started reading the Bible more. I met Brother Chalmer. Brother Chalmer wasn't even truly, really born again yet. He was reading more scripture than I was. He wasn't even really born again yet. And I thought, man, that's what my problem is. I don't have enough word in my life. Amen? But you get around here for about 6 months, and your life will change. And, you know, we got a lot of good people that join us on the radio. I encourage you. It's not about clicks on the internet. It's not about numbers in the seat, because I'm not worried about that stuff. God rebuked Moses. God rebuked David. God rebuked any leader ever who counted numbers to give themselves any kind of authority or anything. I don't count numbers. It's good to see you. Can I say, amen? It's good to see everybody here. I just soon see all the seats filled as empty. Break that ice, brother, because they followed you when you said amen. They followed you, Brother Cal. So it's not about numbers. It's not about anything. We want you to get into the house of the Lord, and in his presence is fullness of joy and life forevermore. And life. And that's right here by just being in church. Amen? Well, grab your Bibles, and we'll get ready to receive our tithes and offerings like we always do at this time. We have a basket over here right behind this delicious fruit tree. Don't eat any of it, though. It tastes a little stale if you did, like chemicals. But this is our offering basket. We bring our offering up front because I don't believe in funeral dirge offerings. I like to see people alive and well and moving. And, on we go with that. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 3. Somebody shout, I love the word. Proverbs chapter 3. One guy said, Pastor, why do you do that? I said, if you don't shout, I love the word, you don't get to heaven. He questioned me on that, and I said, well, he's probably right, but, you know, we shout, I love the word, because I love the word. Children of Israel were told to shout every time the word of God was mentioned. Let's go to verse 5. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. How much? And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. How many? And he will make straight your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be health and healing to your body, and refreshment or renewal to your bones. That's an awesome verse, isn't it? Honor the Lord with your wealth, and from the first fruit of all your increase, your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. Say it, full barns and new wine. And all that God asks from us is that we honor the Lord with our wealth and with the first fruits of all of our increase. You know the cool thing about an offering is it's not about how much I can get out of your pocket. It's about how much you are willing to give to the Lord and are willing to say, this is my money, how much do you want me to give here? And then you put it in there and you sow your seed and you bring your tithes in and God blesses your life immensely. This verse says, honor the Lord with your wealth and from the first fruits of all your increase. I can't make you do that, can I? Can the Pope make the Catholics do it? No. Listen, the church could send you a bill, and that wouldn't make you do it, would it? Because tithes and offerings are not about what I say or what anybody else does. Tithe and offering is about the honor that's in your heart between you and God, and you and God this way. And you bring it here. Everybody knows the tithe is 10%, but everybody also knows that God asks you to make measurable growth in reasonable times. And if you look at that and say, how in the world can I do that? I'll look at you and say, in your own strength, you can't. But if you operate in the in the grace of Almighty God, God will help you do it. And then he'll begin to rebuke the devourer for your sake. He'll begin to get involved in your life. One man, I tell the story often, one man that I know, he came to me and said, Pastor, I don't have any money to tithe because all I get is food stamps. I don't have any cash. He didn't have a job, couldn't get a job. What do I do? How do I tithe? I said, well, back in the day when you brought the tithe to the temple, the priest would cook the meat and then he'd take out a portion and it would be for him to eat with. So I said, I don't know what else to tell you, brother, but I know God wants you to tithe. So why don't you take 10% of your food stamps and present that before the Lord? And Pam and I will receive it, and we'll bless God with it, and we'll see what God does from this. Well, that was three jobs ago, folks. And the man's a very, very comfortably prosperous man today. Why? Because he decided to put God first, and he looked at that situation and said, it doesn't matter. I'm finding a way to tithe something, and I'm bringing it to the Lord. Say it with me. Honor the Lord, and he will honor you. That's God's system. Amen? How many of you have heard how much I told you to give in this service? Anybody hear it? Okay, well, that God said to give 10%. I didn't tell you to give anything. Wait, who told you to give 10%? God. I'm just reading the Bible. This isn't the first book of Samuel, although there is one, but it's not mine. Because this is what I love about God. If today you have one penny and you put it in there, he's going to bless you. If today you brought a $1,000 check, he's going to bless you. But he's going to bless you according to your obedience and your heart of honor to him. It doesn't have anything to do with me. Amen? Doesn't matter if I show you pictures of starving children and broken down homes from Haiti and all the stuff that people do to get money out of your pocket. That don't make a lick of good about nothing, folks. Because it's between your heart and God. And when you obey God and I obey God and we all obey God, whatever happens here is going to honor God. And we're going to be able to preach the gospel and get a big thing done. How many think Montana this morning is a big thing? Amen. It's a big thing. 500 people somewhere last week was a part of our church service. Say 500. You think that's a big border? Where are they at, Pastor? Don't have the foggiest idea. I really don't. It doesn't really matter where they are, does it? Because God has brought 500 people to the work of the ministry, and all you and I got to do is stand here and make it happen like he says to make it happen, and look at what God does in our midst. We got quite a few people here today. Isn't that awesome? Wayne and Jackie checked in this morning. They were just on the outskirts of Charlotte on their way home, and they called to say hi and greet everybody, tell everybody here that they said hi, and they're on their way home. Can't wait to be back with the church family here and had a great time while they were gone. My wife greets you in the name of the Lord. She's at the hospital working, and Jesse greets you, and she's at the hospital working. And, you know, we're out there doing it, aren't we? Stand together with me, or I'll keep preaching. Here we go. In our church, we bring our offerings up once we pray. You ready? Hold your offering arms up, and let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus right now, I bless these who tithe and give. Lord, I thank you that no matter what I say or do, it's not about me. It's about each of us, our own heart of honor and worship to you. And we give to you. And we do the work of the ministry that you give us to do. And we honor you, Lord, with our substance and with the first fruit of our increase. And we thank you that you fill our barns with plenty. And you bring us the new fruit of the vine, and our lives are blessed by the power of your Holy Spirit, and because of we obey your word. And I ask now, Lord, for the blessing. I declare the word of God over your giving today. I declare it. And what God said, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is not a man that he would lie. What he said, he will bring to pass for you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Everybody make this confession with me. This is your money, Lord. I am tithing and giving an offering as a good steward. I sow this as a seed into the gospel ministry right here in West Branch and around the world wherever you send us in Jesus' name. Amen. Enjoy the offering song today, and you'll be blessed by Brother Gordon Moat.
Uh-huh. Been through the fire, been through the flood, been down in the valley, stuck in the mud. I've had to look up just to see bottom. If you're looking for stories, brother, I got them. But I ain't gonna give up. Ain't gonna give up on God. No, no, no. Been busted and bruised, battered and torn. Walked through the desert, weary and worn. I've had me some biscuits without any gravy. But in every situation, the hand of God's been. So I ain't gonna give up. Ain't gonna give up on God. Through the test at the end.
For any of our children 8 and under, they'd like to go back. Sister Bonnie's going to be in the back room back there talking to them about Jesus. If they want to do that, you're welcome to. Otherwise, you can be out here and hear me talk about Jesus. Somebody say it. Talk about Jesus. Talk about Jesus. That's what we do. And he's the answer in our life. Now, let me give you a couple of announcements. Everybody needs to give Brother Phil a huge apology and say, we'll be back. Everybody just say it. We'll be back. We'll be back. I already apologized on the phone yesterday because I didn't get there, but we'll be back. We'll come out there and be partying at his house, even though we missed yesterday. And so this week, I want you to put it on your schedule. On July 4th will be the fireworks. And we are always, our group of people from our church, we usually meet in the parking lot of the hospital somewhere about 9 o'clock. If you want to come hang out with us, that's fine. If you got things you do with your family, that's fine. Do that too. It's nothing big. Nobody breaks out a grill. We might see a bag of chips or something every someplace, but if you want something to snack on, then bring that yourself probably. But we just get together and watch the fireworks go boom, and that's where we just usually meet, is in that parking lot. That's our deal, what we do, and we want you to feel free to come with us. Don't forget the parade is going to be on the 4th at 1 o'clock. Our 4th of July parade is always a very good parade. If nothing else, you get to see a whole lot of heavy equipment in it. Sometimes Howie running around acting like a crazy man or something. But, you know, anyways, it's always a good. And West Branch comes out and we have a good time. I'm really trying to get in the parade, but I don't know if we can get it done. I've been working with some veterans and things about something we can do. And if that's the case, I might ask some of you to come and help me walk in the parade. That'd be cool, too. But we haven't quite got it done yet. But I'm telling you what, we're really close. And God's helping me work with a couple Gold Star families that we are going to seriously make a difference in a whole lot of cities in this nation because of the things that God has given me an instruction to do. I'm telling you, every day another door opens and you look at it and say, wow, how do we get through that one like we need to? And the only thing I can say, folks, is just keep praying and find every way you can to make everything happen that God gives us to do. Please be praying for me. I have several events that's coming up. Are going to hell and back for the Gold Star Families Run. I know some of you don't think you should say that in church, but the city, the name of the city is Hell, Michigan. That's the name of the place. It's an actual city. It has a post office. You can buy property there. And we started a run when I was a state captain for the Patriot Guard 4 years ago, where we go there on that day and just have fun with the Gold Star families. A Gold Star family is a family who has had one of their children killed in action in the war in Afghanistan or Iraq. And I'll tell you, we've seen it grow. And the Gold Star families say this: I forgot about my pain and I enjoyed the day. And that's huge, folks. That's huge. And we're going to keep doing that. So pray for me. That's the second Saturday of August. The first Saturday of September. Wait a minute. First Saturday of August, I'm preaching in first Sunday of August, I'm preaching at our Patriot Guard biker deal up by Traverse City. They asked me to come and give a Sunday morning service. Hallelujah. I'll go preach to the bikers. Then the next weekend is the Gold Star family, and that's on a Saturday. And then the first Sunday of September, the Gold Star families get together all by themselves. This year, it's at Gull Lake. Anybody know where Gull Lake is? And they have asked me to come and preach and speak to them about grief. I said to the lady, I don't know what I got to say about grief. They're the ones that can teach me something. However, she said, no, they all want you to be there and minister to them. So how many of you know that's a big, huge, wide open door right there? Because according to Isaiah 61, if you've never written that verse down, write it down. Isaiah said we're supposed to comfort those who mourn in Zion. We are to mend up the brokenhearted. And when somebody loses a loved one, it doesn't just have to be to war. Whenever that comes suddenly and unexpectedly, it's a serious pain, folks. It's a serious pain. And God's opened that door so that we can be a part of that and bless them. And you know what? We'll walk through that door, and that's in September. Now, you know, should I tell them about your son, Phil? July the 6th, Phil's son is bringing two race cars to Whittemore. So if you like the smell of hot rubber tires, you like the sound of no muffled V8 engines, and you like to see a huge carbon footprint being made in Michigan, all y'all come to Whittemore on July 6th for the races. And Brother Phil and I are going to go because I like that. How many like that? The rest of you lied. This is America and Michigan. We like V8 engines and we like them loud. Now, some people don't like them loud, but that's all right. We'll pray for their, you know, if it's too loud, you're too old. That's what we say in the biker world. But anyways, that's July 6th. That's the Saturday. That's a week from yesterday. And that's in Whittemore. I don't know. Whittemore starts at, what, like 6 o'clock or 6:30 or something? I think it's something like that. Just get online and check or drive to Whittemore and check when you do. 5. Time trials are at 5. You know, drive over there and buy a pop and have a hamburger and stimulate the economy in Whittemore because that'll be a good thing. Amen? All right, grab your Bibles and jump to your feet. Let's get into the Word of God. Grab your Bibles and jump to your feet. Got a few jumpers, but not many. We're going to go to Psalm 91. Somebody shout, I love the Word. I love the Word. Psalm 91. We've been preaching about God's justice. Psalm 91 is a good reference of it. Because here's the deal. If injustice happens to you, and justice isn't served, then your mentality becomes a victim mentality. And when you have a victim mentality, you'll never enjoy the great benefits that life has to offer you because you'll always be walking around acting like, talking like, being like a victim. And when you find Jesus, you're no longer a victim. Can I get an amen from somebody? Amen? Amen? And our God and Father wants you to be strong. You know, the Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, let the sick say, I'm healed, I'm well. That's what God wants from you. And why does he want me to do that, Pastor? Well, he wants you to do that because he wants you to stand in faith. How many of you know that the first time Moses needed water out of the rock, what did God tell him to do? Strike it with a rock. But the next time, what did he tell him to do? speak to the rock. Pastor, you think water would have come out of that rock by him just speaking to it? Oh, I don't think it. I know it would have come out of that rock. Why? Because that's how our God is. When he tells you what to do, you do it, and things work. Now, when injustice begins to happen to you, and we the righteous call out for God's justice on this earth, now the vindication of God comes, and we can begin to see God's word and his will take place. Say this with me, justice is not revenge. It's about redemption. It's about redemption. God's justice is about redemption. It's about redemption to the person who's doing wrong. It's about redemption for those of you who are saying, vindicate me, Lord. Because if we're not careful, we'll get a hurt heart on these things. And when you get a hurt heart, then all of a sudden, what God wants to do for you doesn't come to pass. Amen? Let's read this. Psalm 91, hold your Bible up. We'll make our confession together. This is my Bible. I believe what it says. I am what it says I am. I go do what it tells me to do. Today I will be taught the word of God, and it will change my life because that's what it's designed to do. I receive it as a seed that is producing a hundredfold and more in my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Psalm 91, verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler, from the perilous pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen. You may be seated today. Now, let's think about this set of verses right here. Because when you look at that, if you really believe the Bible for what it really is, somebody say it, believe the Bible for what it really says. You know, some people want to believe the Bible for what they've been taught, but it's not what the Bible really says. Somebody was talking to me this last week about some things from the Bible, and I said, yeah, okay, but where do you find that actually in the Bible? And they're like, I don't know. I said, that's the problem with that, is that's not in the Bible. And they said, well, yeah, but I really believe it. And I said, well, I understand that you really believe it. The only problem with you really believing it is it's not true. Somebody say, believe what's true. See, when you go to the Bible, to the book of John, the Bible in the book of John says, when you know the truth, say it out loud. See, folks, our problem is too often is we've listened to religion. Religion doesn't give you answers. Religion gives you rituals. That is what one guy used somewhere to get to God. So he said, I got a bunch of other people that's used the same thing. Let's start us a little organization deal, and we'll all find God this way. The only problem with that is, if you ain't that guy, that's not how you're supposed to find God. Say it. I got to find God for myself. Hey, I grew up in a Christian home. My children grew up in a Christian home. My dad was a pastor. And he was a good pastor. My dad was a very good pastor. I like my dad. He's a good man. But you know what? The day come where I had to find out between me and God who God was. Because you can't go to heaven on anybody else's Christianity, can you? You might belong to the most smoking, awesome, crazy, wild, radical, demon-chasing, word-believing church there ever was, just like this one. Except for this morning. We're just a little quiet, but you could come here your whole life and not get to heaven. What a shame that would be. Can I get an amen from somebody? Because you've got to know God for yourself. This is what's awesome about this set of verses. Psalm 91, 1. Look at that first verse. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That doesn't say if your pastor dwells in the secret place. That says he. It means she too. That means the Christian, the person following God, who abides in God and who dwells in the secret place, will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And it doesn't matter what church you go to, what doctrine you believed your whole life. It doesn't matter what Bible you read out of. It doesn't matter anything that man has said. If you dwell in the secret place of the Most High, you will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. How many of you found the shadow of the Almighty to be yours? This week we went to Dr. Barclay's. He had his final power Thursday. On Thursday night we went there. Bob Yandian preached. Anybody heard of Bob Yandian before? Anybody? I'd never heard of him. Crazy funny man. But another one of the men that Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin raised. And that man knows the word. And he preached about peace. It was just an amazing message. If you're a person that likes to get messages and you want to have a good one, call the church down there and order the message. 989-832-7547. Order the message. It's just amazing what he preached about peace, wasn't it? So he preached about peace. The whole church comes to the altar. He prays over us. It was a great service. Had a great time. We go in town to Burger King because they got me and the kids and the grandkids are there, and they got a little climbing jungle thing in there so the kids can play. And we go there, and the kids are playing. We're having a great time, and as our habit is, say it, as your habit is, we've done this now for 20 years of going to church down there. We went to Myers. Brother Chalmer, remember, back in the day, Brother Chalmer would go to church with us down there. We'd go to Myers after church. Buy black, nasty, old coffee. We'd get the stale donuts for a dime a piece, and the hot dogs were usually so bad they wanted to get rid of them, and that would be our supper we'd eat on the way home. That's why he's such a man of God. We're sitting there in the parking lot, and I was going to drive the car home, and I just felt too tired. I said to Pam, you're going to need to drive tonight. I can't. I'm tired out. She said, okay. And she got up and walked around the other side of the car and sat down in the driver's seat. And Josh and I got out of the car and went into the gas station there to use the restroom. and this big Ford truck. That's why I don't like Fords. This big Ford truck sitting there. I didn't even think anybody's in it. And our car is so short, he couldn't see it. And he backed right out of that parking space, right into the side of the car. What did the preacher preach about? Yeah, you got it. What did he preach about? Peace. Yeah, he got a piece of us, all right. He got that rear passenger door is what he got. And, of course, that bumper on the back of that big farm truck and the tin on the side of that little car, that, you know, no match. Here's the point of what I'm saying. Josh would have been sitting right where that hitch would have come right into the door, and that window blew all out when it happened. Say it. Dwell in the secret place. You abide under the shadow. Huh? I don't know whether Josh and I really had to go to the bathroom or not. I know that's the thought that got us out of the car. See, folks, God protects his own, but you got to get in the secret place. Say it, get in the secret place. Got to get there. Pastor, I don't even know where that is. I'll tell you, it's the fourth oak past the third street and two blocks down right over here in West Branch. That's the secret place. No. The secret place is wherever you go and get by yourself with God and begin to communicate with him yourself. I can lead you in prayers. I'm going to lead you in confessions. I'm not Catholic, even though it sounds like I am. I just need you to speak the word of God and learn how to do it. That's why we do that here. But when you leave this place, what will mark your life and make you a powerful Christian is if you say, thank you, Lord, I got a pastor that gets in the secret place. Thank you, Lord, I got people in my church that get in the secret place. And now, Lord, help me find my own secret place of the Most High where I will abide under the shadow with God Almighty and I will be protected. I will be blessed. We're talking about justice. The justice system of God works for the saints when we're underneath the protection of the almighty shelter and wing of God. Man, get out of that protection, it all messes up. Remember a couple weeks ago I was telling you a story about Dr. Barkley calling the insurance company and asking the lady on the phone. He said, I want to buy insurance that'll stop bad things from happening. Well, look, what did she say? Sir, I don't know that we have that insurance here. And he said, well, go check and see. And she come back on the phone. She said, no, I don't. She says, how in the world would you get insurance that could stop things from happening? He said, I'm glad you asked. Let me teach you about Psalm 91. And taught her about Psalm 91 right there on the phone call. I'm like, man, that's a pretty good net. What do you think? She said, wow, Pastor, thank you. That's awesome. She said, I'm going to go home the rest of my life, and I'm going to understand if I dwell under the shadow of the Almighty, I'm going to be able to be protected, and God can stop the things from happening that's coming at me. Can I get an amen from you? Remember Tom? Don't remember his last name. He came when we was over at the other building. He brought all those old Bibles. He had 35 felony accounts against him. And he was in prison. And he was a very, very horrible man. And he got born again. He got filled with the Holy Spirit. He came out and found a good church. And God's worked on his life. He went back to the prison and said, I want to be your chaplain. And they said, you can't be our chaplain here. Not only were you in this prison, you've got felonies. You can't be a chaplain. He said, all right, well, let me just tell you what God's going to do. I'm going to be the chaplain of this place, and you're going to say yes, and it's going to happen in 6 months. And in 6 months, he was the chaplain of the place. Say it, underneath the shadow. Folks, when you're underneath that shadow, all of the wicked world around you has got to stay away from that insurance policy you got because you're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. Can I get an amen from you? You want another set of verses to look at? I'm going to give you one here. Anybody want another set of verses? Isaiah 61. I want us to look at this again. Who remembers what our theme verse is for the year? That I might know him. Philippians chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. That I might know him, meaning Jesus. Listen, it's all right to go to church and get to know us, but when you stand before God, it's not going to matter if you know us. It's only going to matter if you know our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1, is talking about the anointing on Jesus' life. And let's read that together. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good tidings to the poor. What are you preaching to the poor? Good tidings. What's good tidings to the poor? You don't have to be poor no more. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Listen, it doesn't just say console them. It says heal the brokenhearted. When we meet a brokenhearted person, we should expect the healing power of God to get involved in their life and heal them. Because that's what the scripture says. To proclaim liberty to the captives. How many of you here ever been captive to a bad habit? The rest of you are all lying. Raise your hands. You've all had a bad habit or two. If nothing else, it's sugar.
Lord, I'm preaching now.
It says, we've come to preach liberty to the captives. And the opening of the prison to those who are bound, that's not talking about people in jail. That's talking about feeling so bound to something that you cannot get free to it. Anybody here ever smoke? Yeah. Anybody here ever have a problem smoking? Couldn't get rid of it. Let's try this. Anybody here ever
say bad words and cuss?
Anybody? Don't raise your hand. Anybody ever have trouble getting rid of that one? How many of you have found that cuss words can come automatically? Yeah? How many of you stood before God? Don't raise your hand. Just listen. You stood before God Almighty and said, I will never say those words again. And then 5 minutes later, somebody pushed your button. And out of your belly flowed rivers, but they weren't living water, you know. Your lips are flapping. You're saying words you shouldn't say. You're right in the middle of it, and you're like, my God, help me, my God, help me. Jesus, help. Lord, have mercy on my soul, Lord. But you're just cussing a blue storm. Listen, this is what it's talking about right there. To proclaim liberty to the captives. The opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. If you go to the New Testament, after the word Lord, Jesus stopped talking about his life. Because that's where Jesus' life ended. And that's where his ministry ended. The rest of this chapter is what you and I are supposed to be doing now that he's gone to heaven. Let's keep reading. The day of vengeance of our God. Everybody say vengeance. See, Jesus isn't here on earth for the vengeance. You and I are. To comfort all who mourn. How many? To console those who mourn in Zion. To give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Today in this service, we handed anybody that was here the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And I don't care who you were that walked into this place. If you walked in feeling heavy, when those songs started and the praise started coming out, the heaviness lifted off of your shoulder. Right? That's because the manifest presence of God came down into place as each of us, you and I, gathered together. Think about it. Where two or three of us agree concerning anything, it shall be done, right? One puts 1,000 to flight, two, 10,000. And today in here, we've had about 25 people here, 20 people. Every time somebody else walks in the door expecting something from God, the level of his presence rises into place. And when we begin to sing a song of praise, not just sing a song, but when we begin to sing a song and truly praise Him from our heart, the spirit of heaviness goes away. Say it. Heaviness and your spirit out of my life. See, the day of vengeance of our God is right in the middle of what seems like everything's falling apart. You and I stand up and say, Lord, avenge the righteous. I'm the righteous. Avenge my life from anything the enemy. Who's the enemy? We don't wrestle with flesh and blood. We wrestle with what? Principalities and powers and the rulers of this world. If a person has offended you, they didn't do anything except show you what level they should of access they should have for in your life. That's all they've done. That's all they've done. Don't be offended at them. All right, that's okay. It got real quiet. Elbow your neighbor next to you and just tell them, don't be offended at them people. Don't be offended. No. No, don't be offended. Why? Because God doesn't want you offended. Right? Say it. Vengeance is not revenge. God's not saying get revenge. God's saying speak to that enemy who caused that person to act like that toward you and rebuke the enemy and pray for their redemption and forgive them on the spot and move on down the road. Can I get an amen from somebody? Because when we do, we're going to give people redemption. It'll give them beauty for ashes. It'll give them the oil of joy. It's going to give them this garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And when all of that comes together, it's going to give them redemption, which is going to give them access back in under the shelter of the Almighty. And now they get the same protection that you and I got. And it's all about redemption and helping that other person get back to God. Amen.
Yeah, but Pastor, you don't know what they did to me. And evidently, you've forgotten what you did to Jesus. I'll drink to that. You know why pastors drink water while they preach? So they don't preach dry sermons. Say it. It's not about their sin any more than it's about mine. And Pastor, you don't know what they did to me. Do you remember what you did to Jesus? You put him on the cross. Because of sin. Who's got the worst sin to be forgiven? Those people or you? Let me tell you something. The only sin that you better ever worry about is the sin in your own life, because you can't do anything about the sin in somebody else's life. Can I get an amen from you? Folks, when I called Brother Phil yesterday and said, he called me and said he'd called off the party because nobody showed up. I said, Brother Phil, don't be offended. He said, I know if I am, we're going to do that series again, aren't we, by Brother John Bevere, you know, Obey to Satan. We'll go through that series again. I mean, no, we've been through that series quite a few times in this church, haven't we? You know why? Because it's important that we can get free. Because I want every one of us to be able to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Can I get an amen from you? See, these verses in Isaiah talk about helping people get set free and then learning who they are in God. Because it's not just about getting set free. It's about learning what, excuse me, it's about learning what God wants you to do with your life now that you're free. Amen? Say, just raise one hand and say, use me, Lord. Now, this is tough, but if you mean it, say it. Use my hands. Use my feet. Use these lips.
and speak through me. My hands will bless. My arms will hug. My heart will be compassionate. And when we get free from all that other stuff, folks, you and I are going to be Isaiah 61, verses 2 through the end of the chapter. That's what we're going to be. We're going to restore old waste places. We're going to restore paths to dwell in. Where the devil has ravaged families' lives, we're going to step in, and that family is going to just straighten out immediately, just like that, because we're there with the presence and the anointing and the power of Almighty God. Not because I'm something, not because you're something, not because our church is something, but because they found out who Jesus was. Say it, that I might know him. Pastor, you sound like you're trying to get us committed to go win the world. I think you're pretty intelligent. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Amen? We're supposed to be taking the light into this community and changing the darkness with the light. You ever notice there's not a flash dark? Right? You only have a flash light. Because there is no way to create darkness. All darkness is an absence of light. Some of you are going clear back to chemistry. I can see you. Yeah. There's no object on this world that creates dark. Cal don't have it hooked up to the back of his most powerful tractor on the PTO, and if he gets the RPMs wrapped just as tight as he can go without blowing it, then darkness begins to happen. No, he's got a device he could probably hook up that would produce electricity and a bright light. And wherever there's light, darkness has to flee. Only reason that the sun goes down is you're not tall enough in the sky. Right? Does the sun ever stop shining? No. No, you're just on the opposite side of the world of it. And when that happens, then darkness comes. And God said, I don't even want it dark at night. And he gave us the moon and the stars. Amen? Yeah, and a lantern. Alaska, man. Go to Alaska. It's a beautiful place. I like Alaska. I was there. But you see what this is? Say, I'm dwelling in the secret place, and I'm not going in there with an unforgiving heart. If you go in the secret place with an unforgiving heart, you know what you get? A whooping. My mom would say, you're going to tan your hide, Clyde. That's what she said. No, if you go in the secret place and you got an unforgiving heart, what is God going to talk to you about the whole time? Hey, what about Charlie over there? Hey, what about Charlie over there? You know, Lord, help the missionaries. What about Charlie over there? And I pray for all the hungry people. What about Charlie over there? The whole prayer is going to be about Charlie until you take care of what you got to do with Charlie or Charlette, whatever their name is. You're going to have to deal with that because God wants that whole time in the secret place to be nothing but focused on him. He wants your heart completely free. Say free. Say free, free, I'm free at last. All you got to do when somebody offends you is look at that person and say, you might say it to yourself, you might say it to their face, but just say, all you've done is shown me I got to bring you down to this level. I had you up here in my mind, but that's okay. You've proven to me that you're actually at this level of life, which is fine by me. Everybody say, it's fine. Do you want somebody to expect you to be somewhere you're not? I don't want that. Let me be where I am. I'll let you be where you are. The most important thing is let's not expect each other to be at a place we're not at. Why? Nobody's offended then. Right? How many of you, don't raise your hand, how many of you got just a loudmouth brother or brother-in-law that just, he's just one of them people that just makes a mess in the family all the time. And you're just like, Jesus, I could shut him up. Just let me shut him up once, Lord. And the Lord says, that's revenge. Don't do that. Let me shut him up. And you're like, no, but I'm better than you. You take too long, Lord. You ever been there? But all you got to do with that person is get them in the right place. Yeah, but they're my brother. Yeah? Still keep them in the right place. Don't expect more out of them than they're able to produce. Right? And you keep your relationship in the right place with them. I had some family members. You won't ever know how close they were. But I had some family members that were just mouthing about me. And I went to Dr. Barclay and said, Pastor, I don't know, what do I do with this? These are Christian people. They're supposed to love me. Don't put a name on it. You'll be sinning. You don't know if it's my Uncle Harry or Uncle Charlie or if I have one. And Pastor said to me, Sam, how many times you got to be hurt by them? I said, well, I'm not going to be hurt. They're my family. He said, you're hurt. Just admit it. Okay, I'm hurt. He said, you're only hurt because you expect them to be something that they're not. Why won't you just let them be what they are? I said, because I wouldn't spend much time with them. He said, then so be it. I said, they're my family. He said, all right, go spend the time and come back next year at the same time and tell me you were offended again. He said, someone who gets kicked by the same mule twice, who's the mule? And I thought, well, you call me a mule? My pastor called me a mule. He said, I didn't call you a mule. I'm just telling you the principle of life that you should remember. And I said, thank you, sir. And guess where I put that person? I put them right where they were supposed to be. Guess what happened when I went to the secret place? I no longer had a fence with them. I didn't have no words. Why? I got them where they were supposed to be. Guess what happened after about a year? The relationship started to grow back up where it was supposed to be. And that's something. The respect level grew on both sides where it was supposed to be. Why? Because we put it down to where it was really at. And then I was able to go in the secret place. My heart wasn't offended. My mind wasn't filled with the thoughts, I can't believe they did that to me. It hurts so bad. That's not a good way to pray, folks. And we've all been there. Even if you're a big, tough man and you don't cry tears, you've been to the secret place before complaining to God. And if you haven't, it's because you've been sitting out there in the backyard cussing at somebody. So stop that and go talk to God. Hey, can I get an amen from somebody? Say this out loud. Quit yelling at your family and yell at the devil. Yeah, but Pastor, the devil didn't do me wrong. It was their words. No, it's just the devil overpowering their life. Why that's going on. Bind the devil, because that's what we just read you can do. Bind him. Remember, in Psalm 91, you can stomp on the air. You can stalk on the snake, cobra. You have authority over the lion. Take authority over that roaring lion. Tell it to shut up. Ask God to bring vengeance on our enemy. Say the enemy. That's not the person. That's the enemy. That's the devil. Right? You got something with your life, and they keep running their mouth, then just pray for God to save the whole family, and they'd be a part of our church. You mess with me, devil, and I'm going to win that whole family, and I'll win everybody that they know to Jesus, and we'll fill the church with that family. Now, you better back off of what you're doing to me, because the vengeance of the Lord is going to come to us here, because we'll not relent from what God said was available. Can I get an amen from you? When the thief is caught stealing, he had back seven times. How many nights have you gone to bed with an offended heart because of something that somebody did? And now that you got that person in the right place from today's message, you're going to be able to say, you know what, Lord, that night, that cost me 15 nights of sleep on that deal. I want my nights of sleep back. How many could handle a few nights of sleep back? Anybody want to say amen? Pastor, is that really the case? Yes, that's what the Bible is telling us will go on. If we'll just demand that the devil get out of our life and leave us alone, God will force that enemy to stay at bay and peace will come to your life. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And when you're abiding there, folks, that's the peace that passes all understanding. Can I get an amen from you? get an amen. Look at verse 7. I want you to see this. No. 6. But Isaiah 61, 6. But you shall be named the priest of the Lord. And they shall call you the servants of our God. Say it, I'm a servant of God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles. What all does that mean? We'll preach about that sometime, but just start asking God for it. And in their glory you shall boast. That's the Bible, folks. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. Say it. Instead of shame, honor. And not only honor, but double honor. I like that. Not because I need to be something, but the enemy shamed my life at times, folks. How about you? And instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land they'll possess double, and everlasting joy shall be theirs. Somebody close your Bible, shout hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, and then jump to your feet. Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, for the double. How's it come, Pastor? I don't have the foggiest idea how it comes. I'll give you the example I just told you earlier today. Go ahead, stand up. If you don't stand and come forward, you know me. I'll keep preaching. When you guys sit back down, you tell me, Pastor, preach longer. So I do. But listen, let's ask Len a question. Come forward. If somebody were to come to your house, he needs somebody to sit in that seat there, guys. All right. It's all right. Everybody be cool. There you go. So I'm back to Len. You ready, Sister Len? If somebody comes to your house, Len, and you're feeding them supper, right? You don't want them to go away with an empty belly, do you? Right. So when you guys come to church and you sit there, you're showing me that you are still hungry and I should feed you more. Yeah, they missed it. Everybody missed it. Don't worry about it. Are we ready? Come forward like we always do. Pastor, you're just going to end the message like that? Yes, I am, because I know the Holy Spirit of God spoke to your life today about something that you want to deal with and deal with and you got to deal with and you're going to go home. And this is what I know. I know that this gathering of believers is going to continually take the light out into that darkness. Say it. I am a light and I belong in that darkness. Listen to this statement. God intentionally positions the righteous in places of injustice and darkness on purpose because he wants his light there. Therefore, you and me here in this place, because he wants light, and we're bringing that light. Somebody say, I'm bringing it at you. The kids would all say, yeah, bring it on. Well, no, we're just looking at the devil saying, I guarantee you, here we come. Say it with me. I guarantee you, we're coming to you in God. Full force. In your face, devil. Because we got Jesus. And he's in my life. He's in my life. He's in my life. Amen. Let's pray. Did you tell the children to come up? All right. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I've spoken your word. This week, we will celebrate the independence of the United States of America. People all across this nation will be having parties and shooting fireworks, and we'll be remembering what happened in 1776. And we'll be happy because of it. We'll be shouting because of it. We'll be having a good time. And we love America, Lord. We love America. We love other nations, but we love America. for what you've done for us here. And the Apostle Paul said to stand fast in the liberty where Christ has made you free, and do not be again entangled to the yoke of bondage. Therefore, we remove that from our life and say, I'll not be entangled from anything in my life ever again. I choose to be free and be in the secret place, abiding under the shadow of the Almighty, and the blessing of the Lord will be mine. We choose that, Lord. We choose it. We choose to live in it. And I pray this message today, Lord, cause us to see how we can stand boldly and defiantly in our enemy's face when we're standing under the shadow of the secret place, when we are functioning in that secret place every day and we're under the shadow of the Almighty. There's no way. It's impossible for him to touch us. He can rail insult. He can do things he wants to, but you have promised that under those wings we would trust, and the truth would be our shield, and it would be our buckler, and there would no evil befall us, and no plague come near our dwelling. Therefore, I say to every plague, every disease, your assignment is canceled in the lives of our believers, and you must release them from that, so that they are free to live and serve and walk with Almighty God. I pray this in the name of Jesus and according to the holy word of God, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen and amen. Well, I sure do love you guys. We're going to have our closing prayer now today. I wish you could have time to just sit here and we preach for another 2 or 3 hours, because I got a lot more to say. But we'll just get together again the next time. Amen. And have a good week this week. Buy some fireworks. Invite me over to set them off. Anyways, I'm safe when I set off fireworks. Really, I am. Let's have our closing prayer like we always do, in Jesus' name.
I anoint you with oil at the end of service out of assignment by God. And we and that prayer's on purpose. That's the same prayer we prayed now for probably 15 years, 12 years, I guess. And I pray that God brings that to pass in your life this week, and you find that great strength and great help, and you understand your place in God, as you should. In Jesus' name, I speak it over all of you that's with us by radio. I declare over your life and family that you're blessed in Jesus' name, that great breakthrough, understanding, and the divine provision of God is yours this week. Everybody in agreement, shout a big amen. Amen. Well, we'll see you again soon. If not before then, we'll see you Thursday night for the fireworks.
When I crank it like a boom, wow. Yeah, they like the way I do this. When I crank it like a boom, wow. Full throttle, heavy metal, set the bar, next level, wave.